You know, what a tremendous truth that Bob just shared about. We all come from different walks of life, different parts of the country. It's amazing. I'm dealing with the Northeast. I have to believe that, like everyone here, that there's something significant about that. Or that there will be something significant about that. But that's true of everyone here. Because we have something real special and precious. And that's why we're here, fellowshipping with one another. So we was here earlier this afternoon, Mike's teaching. I mean, that was awesome. That was really awesome. That was powerful. There was so much truth there that you couldn't begin to, you know, isolate. And really, if you heard it, you were here. I mean, I was bubbling inside because there was just so much depth to the truth that was shared. And I'm sure there are going to be plenty of other speakers here this weekend that we're going to all be blessed with and encouraged in the Word. I mean, Ronnie's message was right on target, of course. And I want to echo Ronnie's sentiment about I'm really honored and privileged to be able to share just the same. But if I didn't get to share here, really I would be just like Ronnie, just as blessed, just fellowshipping with one another here, just being here. I mean, everyone's eager to get here. When you get here, like, wow, it's great, isn't it?
Amen.
And so, thank you, Bob. Thank you, everyone.
You're welcome.
This is a real blessing. So, let's see if we get into the Word. Why don't we open up to the Word first? Heavenly Father, thank you so much. So much for that truth that you just lavished on us and that we hold so true and so near to our heart. We thank you, Father, that you can provide us with a clarity of mind tonight, that all the worries and concerns, Father, that they not for not but for one moment interfere with the message that you would have us to hear tonight. We thank you, Father, for that peace that only you can give to us through your word. That we can receive this, Father. That we can be enlightened. Father, that we can be your servants. And Father, so we thank you for all this. We thank you for everyone's life here. We thank you for all those believers on their way here. You can guard them. And so we thank you for all that you mean to us, for all that you do to us. In the greatest name that we all know, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So my lovely wife Maria handed out a handout that I copied from this great book, Testimony of the Lord's Prisoner. It's a structural outline. Hey Bob, can I get permission to do that?
Go for it.
Sounds like you're great. That was the best. But I just thought it was an interesting, at least, start with that, because it gets us into at least the structure, the little structural buffs like me that like to understand where a particular passage of scripture may be in relation to the whole book of the Bible. And so, not to spend a lot of time on that, but we'll just skim over that, and we'll see the interrelation of the prison epistles. We obviously are looking at a passage in Colossians so that we know that that particular epistle is a doctrinal epistle, and talks most about our standing in him as us Ephesians. In contrast to Philippians and 2 Timothy, where it talks more about our state, or that practical truth. And so that's Exhibit A, and Exhibit B, you'll see if you go right into Colossians, it's more. more of a cumulative degree of truth that we come to learn, in contrast to Ephesians, where we're found to be seated together. There, of course, we learn for the first time about the mystery of the one body. And so in Colossians, as we look at the verse that we are studying this weekend, where we also learn about the mystery there as well, and it reveals still yet more. You know, I don't think that, of course, that we know all there is to know about the mystery, because it is rather deep. One thing that comes to mind, and I think, Mike, you started this, and Ronnie, you shared something on it as well. It's such a truth, the mystery, that it is inevitably going to result in some level of what we said, suffering. And the suffering is really multifaceted. I mean, I've heard Martin say, I believe it was isolation. Some may say ridicule. Give me smokes, for example. Persecution. Okay, so, and the point to remember is that we hold a truth that can only be understood by revelation. And we come to that point where if we realize that, then we begin to understand that the suffering in of itself, we're eager to go through it. Then we don't mind. It's not a personal attack as such. I don't think Paul ever thought of it that way. Right? He endured because he knew. And so, whenever we're prayerfully sharing what's the honest truth, we need to keep that in mind and focus. Wherever it is, however it comes up, this is a deep, unique truth. And we're going to experience some of that, quote unquote, suffering. So, begin to expect it. And live with it. Don't shy away from it. Last weekend we were having dinner in Hartford. And I was actually with a pastor. And I thought, I'm going to be going to a conference in Indiana. And they invited us to the speaking chair. Oh, really? I'm great. Oh, wow. And the mystery. Oh, you know that happened. What happened? The mystery of the one body. I don't have to tell you what that conversation is going to be. Wait, what is the mystery? And of course, there's only so much time he has, like the elevator speech.
Sure.
Oh, right? You've got 1 minute to say it all. But I don't need to say it all. In fact, I didn't feel the necessity or the need to have to expound any more than what was necessary for the moment. In fact, if he was really, 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 really that interested, then he would call me back. And leave it at that. So there's no need to feel any kind of pressure of any kind. So that's a point to keep in mind that you're led just by God. I don't have to explain any more than you're hungry for it. And the hunger is going to come from God. And if you're not hungry, I'm not ready to explain it. And I wasn't in my place. So go over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. Let's read that. Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. Who's nine? Chapter 1, verse 25. So what I was sharing was, please give some thought to how this passage of scriptures is strategically found and positioned in one or two periods of the prison epistles. This is why I say about that. Again, you have a book, you don't need that, but it's a nice little piece of how to understand, because you see how those pairs of prison epistles, they serve to declare our standing and acceptance in Him, which there's nothing we do or don't do, there's nothing that we do or don't do that can alter that, what has been declared by Him through His Word. But Colossians chapter 1:25, let's read the verse. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me and to you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations. And I'd like to be a little more emphatic. But now! Because that's the contrast. But now is made manifest to the saints. So, what this Colossians affirms that is a truth even more, to a higher degree, I should say, than Ephesians. Well, Colossians affirms that, look at Colossians 1:12, verse 12. We're told here that He made us need to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13. He delivered us from the power of darkness, translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Verse 14. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 19. In Him should all fullness dwell. Verse 21. You have He reconciled. Verse 22. Reconciled, hope to present you holy and unblameable. Key words. That's taking us a step up from Ephesians, where we're accepted. That's the starting point. Then Ephesians 1:6, we're accepted in Him. Here it tells us, let's take it to another new level of who we are in Him. So, in Ephesians, we have acceptance, we have inheritance, we have that sealing, being sealed with that Holy Spirit promise. Seal of blessing and hope, and the good pleasure of His will is declared as the starting point of a believer's foundational standing. So, that's the reason for, again, understanding and it's the interrelation of what Colossians is to Ephesians, and just as 2 Timothy is to Philippians. But we're of course studying Colossians. Ronnie got into me some real deep and great thoughts and truths on some of the word studies, some of which I'll touch on. But the one thing before we go there that I wanted to share was in this very first chapter, the first and second verse, and I want to make note of is, of course, structuring the salutation. Verses 3 to 8, we have the faithful ministry of Epaphras. Verses 9 to 12, we have the prayer and the spiritual walk. Verses 13 to 23, Christ being before all things, before we get to our verse that we're sharing as a theme for this conference, which is verses 24 through 27, whereby the mystery here is made known. And so, we'll get into some of those words and beginning with that very word that Bonnie shared, diakonos. Notice how we'll pronounce that a little different. I'm from the East. Diakonos. 1249. How do you like that? Not 1249. A laborer who executes the command of another, advancing the cause at their own sacrifice. Again, talking about that suffering. There will be suffering. We better expect it. It's part of it. Then we have, of course, dispensation, Oikonomia 36:22. The management, stewardship, or administration of the household affairs. In other words, the office of duty that was entrusted to Paul by God, which carried the very duty and responsibility to guard. Now that's important, that we guard this. So, it's one thing to, yes, enlighten, and it's another thing to understand that we have the responsibility to, yes, guard. And he speaks about that. Because we know the attack, the adversary, will always be on the word. And it has always been on the word. And so, it's only even in this age that this mystery has begun, you can say, to be unfolded. It was made known a long time ago. But we were in some kind of black age, I heard. I still think we're in a black age, right? Right. So, it's important to understand that, yeah, we have a responsibility to guard. And the word fulfilled in that passage, which, let's go back to that verse. Verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill. Yes, it's a complete playbook. 41:37, to fill up, to complete, or according to vines, to preach fully, to complete the ministry of the gospel appointment. And so this act signifies that up until the revelation of the ministry, the ministry and teaching was not complete. So let's see how that reads. Well, I have made, well, let's back it up. 24. Will now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God. So, there's an axiom here. The axiom is the reverse. Having not received this, would the word have been fulfilled? I think not. And so, it goes to say that no mystery, then the gospel is incomplete. And we can say that with all confidence. Anyone who says they're preaching the full gospel without the mystery is incorrect. The mystery has got to be part of it. Let's not make any bones about it. The mystery fulfills this word of God. We find Paul continually makes reference of his association with having been selected to minister this particular dispensation and mystery. We see that. that continually. Ronnie shared some of those verses, and I'd like to, again, expound on some of those effectively. Let's talk, for example, in verse 23. To continue the faith grounded in self and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, stop. We were talking about how important it is to acknowledge and recognize that we're going to suffer for this, aren't we? Well, here's a reminder. If you continue the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, that means you can't be moved away. That's interesting. So, this is something worth not only acknowledging and guarding and fighting, but you've got to be grounded and settled. We're exhorted to be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Which you have heard, which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. There it is. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, it's unique to Paul's ministry. It wasn't the first time it was revealed. In fact, we go back to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3.
That's not the mystery that we're
concerned with right now that we're referring to. And what we're referring to is 1:7, where it says, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of this power, 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. He could have said, who am less than all of the saints. Less than the least. He wants to make a point here that he didn't deserve it. Is this grace given that I should teach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ? That unsearchable, as has been said before, is untraceable. No trace of it whatsoever. That was never made known until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. And so, the uniqueness of him making claim to his ministry is reiterated and repeated, going back for a moment to Colossians chapter 1. In verse 23, the latter part of the verse, where he says, whereof I call and made a minister. 25, whereof I am made a minister. And so that's important because that truth that we know was very specific and peculiar to Paul's ministry and no one else's. And we need to understand that. And so, As we yearn to learn more about our responsibility to this mystery, our charge to understand it, to be enlightened, we gain a deeper appreciation for what God would have us to do with it. And as I said before, with it does come a certain level of responsibility. I certainly, of course, pray that this mystery is made known to more and more people as you do. And I might not know everything there is to know or say when I desire to enlighten someone with it. I don't think I have to, though. I don't think you have to. I think the real charge we have is being guarding it first and foremost, guarding this mystery. And reverencing God for having enlightened you on this mystery. And one thing that I think is very unique to this aspect of this mystery is that it does take a certain level of humbleness. And what that means is humbleness and hunger for God to reveal more to you. And I have to believe everyone that is here for this conference yearns to learn more from God as I do. We don't know everything I don't know. But I know one thing. When you attempt to share this precious word as it relates to the mystery of the Lord God with someone who pretty much knows it all, they can't receive it. They can't receive it. And they can know a lot about the word too. They can be a scholar. They could have gone to seminary school. It just doesn't matter because it's something that comes from God. It's not something that you can just simply marry and just learn. But God works in those hearts, and only worked in my heart as I yearn to learn more. God only knows, and you worry a little about the heart. And yet, I wanted to, yes, learn about him and who he was. And like many of you, like we all go through paths. And some of you may have been in this ministry for long. God bless you if you have. But for some others, there was some searching. There was some searching. And so, it's in that searching and that humbleness that God fulfills. And keep that in mind, even as he puts that in your heart to enlighten others. But this, let me tell you, this is a very unique truth about God's word that I am flabbergasted about. And you can never say that you just, that's it, I know everything there is to know about it. That simply is not true. I was just sitting there and I almost fell off my chair when I heard Bonnie say something. Why? Because it's in relation to this progressive realization of this mysterium truth that we call the mystery. And so, I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. I'm looking forward to hearing a lot, many other speakers as well this weekend. Roger's going to be speaking. And many others, Artie. And so, God bless you all. Let's close with a word of prayer. much for your loving kindness. For Father, continually pouring out revelation of your word. Father, just the beauty of the mystery of the one body. How you connect us all together with this one holy truth. How thankful we are that we can come before you, yearning to learn more, that we may know you more and more and more each and every day. We thank you that we are a family, that although we come from all different parts of the country, we worship you. We worship your word. Father, we thank you that you have revealed to us this precious truth of the mystery of the one God. And so we thank you, Father, for continuing in our lives to show us step by step how we can just not only guard it, learn more about it,